and McCann.
Okay, we are live. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have a very special guest, returning guest, Sean McCann of the Wake the Dead podcast. Check it out. Top 2% podcast in the world. Does great work. Has talked to and collaborated with a lot of people I'm familiar with. Loomis, PsyOp Cinema, Hans Uter, you can see over there. And some of the shows that aren't, you know, that I haven't done, a lot of subject matter. So I'll put a link to Wake the Dead podcast. Check it out. Give it a listen. Great host and guest. But today we're going to talk about someone who I wrote about. If you're watching this on Rockfin or YouTube, where I'm streaming this to, you'll see a picture of Arthur C. Clarke, but it's also from my book. So I did a 5 pages, just a chapter on him as somebody who kind of knew the Crowley numerology, the 11, 77, 93, that whole bit. It's all there. But he has a very interesting background. He's clearly occulted. He's part of the moon landing hoax. He's part of 2001, probably the most influential science fiction movie ever made that, you know, spawned like Star Wars, Alien, other great science fiction films. And he was in Sri Lanka. We can talk more about that. There's some details. With this guy, I would put him in one of the illumined ones, super bright. He was responsible for geosynchronous orbit of satellites. Like, his ideas seeded into the real world as a real thinker. But he also had a dark side. We're going to talk about that. So Sean McCann, welcome back to the show.
Hello. I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for that. And thanks for the glowing review of Wake the Dead. I'm very proud of that. And you know, the show is growing and getting better as we go along. You know?
It's an accomplishment. I mean, if you're in the top 1%, that's the top 30,000. If there's 3 million podcasts, some are probably defunct. Mm-hmm. But that means you're in the top 60,000, 60, 70,000 in the world. That's pretty cool.
I'm trying, man. I'm climbing. You know, I don't have any gimmicks, and I don't have any ads, and I don't like... But I try to have a good conversation. That's really what it's about, you know, and try to learn something.
So you have ad-free listening. That's unusual, because that's right. Kind of how I sustain myself.
Yeah, well, I go to work every day, you know. But, you know, maybe someday I'll graduate to ads. But as of now, I'm just trying to be part of the conversation. I really want to, like, be able to add my thoughts and to be able to hear others' thoughts and be able to expand my, you know, my view of the world and have my understanding of truth, and, you know, and I'll bring my listeners along with me. I think it's fun. It's great.
And this guy, I mean, Arthur C. Clarke, tons of books, right? So he's written 2001 Space Odyssey, Rendezvous with Rama, which supposedly is in production hell. Like, they've tried to make a film with it. Fincher was associated with it. And some, what's the guy's name? The black actor, the older guy. But some, you know, some very famous people are associated with it. They just haven't seemed to be able to make it. But there were also just these kind of incredible, obvious links, Prelude to Space, Link to Prometheus, and just clear Luciferian themes in his work, right, and his life. He wasn't a Christian. And
he specified at his funeral that he didn't want anything religious at all. He's very atheist. You know, he made that point. Yeah.
And he had those kind of famous three dictums, which is one, when a distinguished but elderly scientist states that something is possible, he's almost certainly right. When he states that something is impossible, he's very probably wrong. The second is, the only way of discovering the limits of possible is to venture a little way past them into the impossible. And the third is, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Which always makes me think of, I actually quoted that in my 9/11 book, like, who knows what kind of stuff they deployed in 9/11.
Right, with the melted cars and all that.
Melted cars, the weird disappearance of, like, the steel melted. It was right. A forge, like a furnace for days. I don't know if people
were... Right, oh yeah, for a long time, more than days. Yeah. It was like molten steel in the basement for a long time. And then,
where does that energy come from?
Like, there's like a spire that turns to dust. on camera. It just blows away. And it's just like, what? You know, right. Like there was no rubble. Like Judy Wood talks about that. It's really
interesting. Yeah. No, you can see it. Like I just remember looking at the buildings. Like I couldn't even comprehend it happening.
Right.
Like, how did those, where did they go? And you can just see the rubble. There's nothing left. There's like no, right. Like why isn't there like four or five stories left?
And
like,
what is left now is a monument that is a tesseract in the ground. Wow. It's like a black hole. It's a black square hole within another square. And the water is pouring down. And water is like emotions and like care and like, you know, like it's just being sucked down into this black square cube. Like it's so satanic. It's so dark, evil.
And even the placard is like so to the 3,000 people whose lives were sacrificed.
Yeah, straight up. They even say
September 11th, like an 11 and sacrifice in the same phrase. Right. Like people can just Google the placard at 9/11. Just be like, why did they use the word sacrifice, man? Right. What is
that? Right. And that was not a willing sacrifice. I mean, at least in the Aztecs, they gave them a bunch of mushrooms and then convinced them that they wanted to die before they went and did it. You know, like this, they just burp, you know, and those people are jumping out of the windows, pulling off their clothes like they were being microwaved. You know what I mean? What the heck is that? Like that? It's really, and like if you look at what we did at the end of World War II, we wanted to show off our new technology. You know, what is this 9/11 thing where they can just erase a building in the middle of a city? What kind of imagine the godlike power that they have. And they're like advertising it to everybody in the world. All the other governments like, look at what we can do to you now. You know,
right. Like that's the level element of 9/11 of how like they're telling one story to one group of people and another story to another group. But they all have that out of the same event. Right. Like everybody, like they should have just known. Like Saddam Hussein, like he probably had to know the message. Like you're dealing with a different crew of people, man. And he like pled for his life like before the Iraq invasion. He's like, okay, what do you guys want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it's like,
nope. He used to work for them before anyway. It's like, right. Okay,
he was sorry, installed boss. By them. Yeah, he was installed by the CIA. So
yeah. That's, and it's all one big web. You know, these people like Clark here. He's working for the government to try to convince people that we went to the moon. You know, it's like, and I'm sure that, I mean, there's a lot to be said for black market. Like we were just talking before the air going on air about the blackmail operations that people have. And that also goes along with the, I don't want to call it tourism, but because it's like a positive connotation, but like sex offenders going to other countries in order to prey on children. Like Denny Hastert used to go to Thailand and stuff. Right. He was given.
Melendez went to not Haiti. What's the Dominican Republic?
Right.
Melendez's thing. Yeah.
Right. And Dominican Republic is right there next to Epstein's Island. Right. You know, this. And then Ghislaine Maxwell was a scuba or like would go in the,
you right, know, the Terramar.
Terramar, right. And she had her like license for like underwater submersibles. And I mean, and then this guy, he goes to Sri Lanka because he wants to be floating weightless scuba guy, you know, but just so happens that Sri Lanka is the number one destination for child sex tourism, wow, because of the laws, the way that it's set up, the laws in Sri Lanka, if you're a child is considered 13 or younger, so a 14 year old is an adult, as far as sex goes.
Oh, interesting. Over there. So they have a low
right. And the consideration, like the word rape legally only is vaginal penetration. So any other kind of sexual abuse or like, and boys legally cannot be raped. So there's like a legal loophole for boys there where like 60% of the child, in quotes, prostitutes in Sri Lanka are boys. And that's why our friend Arthur C. Clarke ends up there and decides to live there. And so that's the main point of the show, is we're going to talk about like his
right. And he was going to predate on boys at a ping pong place, right?
Yes.
So like this ping pong theme pops up in Kubrick, in Lolita, in Comet Ping Pong, and all these. I've seen a video of Alec Baldwin this ping pong table, like gross. All these Hollywood people. Yeah. And by the way, the blackmail we were talking about, the blackmail, but it was P. Diddy, whose mansion is literally down the street from Hugh Hefner's Playboy mansion. So like literally there's like a nexus of blackmail. It's not funny, but a nexus of like blackmail taking place right there in Beverly Hills. It's off the charts. Like,
of course. It's sick. But yeah, that's what we were talking about. I'm excited to hear the show that you recorded.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's worse than the Epstein filings. Like I'm not exaggerating.
Right.
It is actually more disturbing.
Right.
Because there's so many other kind of criminal acts, like the ones that Virginia Giuffre, and she ties into this story. It's not believable, but Virginia Giuffre brought against Ghislaine Maxwell is pretty tame in comparison to the P. Diddy. It's really little Ron Jones. I think Ronald Jones was the guy who brought the suit. I mean, and a lot of this thing, these are allegations in a civil complaint. They haven't been brought to court yet.
The picture it paints is pretty horrific. I mean,
horrific. And there's pictures, right? So like he's got evidentiary pictures there. Those are right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's horrific because it's like the theft of free will of people, making them do what they don't want to do, and then getting it on camera and then using shame to control their actions in the future. Like, it's really like
mega drugging. Like they knew according to the filings, they knew that people were getting drugged or women are getting drugged.
Separate alcohol bottles for the women that were drugged for the
And then the pictures were taken. So they're all doing like, it's just an incredible culture. Right. It's really a culture like that. And it kind of reminded me of kind of smiley face killers of just a mass drugging, just constant drugging, or Jeffrey Dahmer just drugging the daylights out of people. Like, whoa.
Right. GHB specifically.
Yeah. Right. So it's that case is really something else. But Minsky, before I forget, Virginia Giuffre said she was trafficked to Minsky. And I have a picture of Minsky in here. And Minsky was the inspiration for the 2001 Space Odyssey. I think Hal or something like that. So,
He was
a small world. Yeah,
he was the computer programmer or whatever that was.
Right. I think they actually mention him by name in the film, or maybe in the book or something like that.
Right.
So yeah. So Kubrick's doing Lolita. There's allegations of him having inappropriate relations with the girl. So he's not a male attracted person. And then the allegations, I mean, Clark basically came out and said I can't believe you found those articles, but he actually said in those articles.
I did, yeah. I've got them linked here so that we can read them on air.
Yeah, they're no longer online. I mean, you found them online in
the freelibrary.com. And the dates are listed and it's just all the quotes. Yeah, you got it there.
And these are totally suppressed by Murdoch Media. And that's where it was originally published, if I remember correctly. So
Murdoch made a lot of money being friends with Clark because Clark talked about satellites, and Murdoch, being in the business of telecommunications, was like, oh, that's a good idea. And he invested a bunch in satellites and became even more rich because Arthur C. Clarke. That's why he's so loyal to Clark. That's why
it makes perfect sense.
Right. And I mean,
total genius. I mean, Arthur C. Clarke was a full genius, like Cooper.
Right. Right. A lot of those satanic people are, you know what I mean? They're stuck in that, that calculating left brain where I'm not saying that they're bad, like, but they are bad in their actions and whatever. Anyway, we'll move on from that. So the ping pong you mentioned, yes, that's in Lolita, and that was not in the book Lolita. That was added by Kubrick.
Wow, interesting.
Right.
And Kubrick knows all the symbolism, right? Because it's in Eyes Wide Shut, the pedo bear.
Right.
And some of this other stuff.
Cheese Pizza was in the Rainbow Room with the Asian men. He looks down, Milich looks down at the table and he says, "What is this?" And he's looking at Cheese Pizza. And then he finds the Asian dudes. What, you know?
Right. Wow, that's incredible. So all that symbolism is there, all validated through Comet P.
Right.
Comet
and P. Oh, also the rainbow symbolism of, like, you know, the rainbow, whatever is the name of the place, the costume shop. But while he's outside and he's talking to Milich through the little box. While he's on the buzzer, you know, you can see below the place that's named Rainbow Fashions. Below that is another business called Under the Rainbow. And the O from Under the Rainbow in the word rainbow is a spiral. That's like on the street advertised to the people walking by. So like that spiral thing, we know, you and I know from our research that when the spirangle is for boy lover and the spiral heart is for girl lover, and that they put little charms on the kids that are victims so that other pedophiles can see them and know how to treat them. And it's sick. And like,
it's a sick underworld. Yeah. It's
right. Crazy. Right. So under anyway, the rainbow. Yeah, under the rainbow, that's what, like, when you go over the rainbow is when your body's being traumatized and your soul pops out because you can't take the trauma. But what's happening under the rainbow is what is being done to that poor victim. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the room itself, the glass doors, like, that is under a sign that says, it's happening under a rainbow sign, like the neon rainbows, you know, never mind. So, I talk about Eyes Wide Shut a lot and talk about Kubrick. And that's why I know about Clark, and I've been looking at Clark. And I think that because Kubrick was working with Clark, he was because of that, and in that milieu of people, he knows all of these symbols and he knows what is actually, that's why it's so layered heavily in Lolita. I think he's like exposing and
he's showing it to the people who know, like,
right?
He's not explaining it. So the symbol kind of like goes back to like either Manly P. Hall or somebody, like symbols are the real secret language. So this is the symbols for those types of people. It's like, right. They know it. Right. And they can, you know, it's just like masonry or something like that. They know a lot of this, the Masonic symbols or something.
Right.
And you say that Clark was also Masonic, which makes perfect sense that he was either a high Mason or the highest Mason possible.
Like, I don't know for sure, but when this video that I'm bringing to the table today, he's advertising to Freemasons. Like, I don't know if you want to get into that first before we start reading the
whatever you want. I mean, we can bring it up. Here it is.
Yeah, go ahead and bring it. Okay, so this is Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World, Episode 9. So give it to 1 minute. In this episode,
that's so weird. Like, I grew up watching a lot of this stuff, you know? Like,
yes. Yeah, that's why that's why I'm excited to bring it to people's attention, because like Mark Passio, a friend of mine, he does a lot of work and he offers this thing called the ARC. He calls it the Amazing Repository of Knowledge. Right. And it's like a terabyte. It used to be 1 terabyte. Now he's given 2 terabytes. Of like books and shows and, like, you know, lots of audio and book and just lots of information. And he just gives it to people for free, or he asks for a donation, but you don't have to give whatever. I mean, it's whatever. And so I got this ARC from him and I found this Mysterious World on the ARC. And I'm like, dude, have you seen episode 9 of Mysterious World? I'm explaining this to him. And he looked at me like, what? Like, he didn't know that it was included. So all of you out there that have the ARC, check it out. Arthur C. Clarke, Mysterious World, in the videos tab. So that's where I found this. And I was just dumbfounded because I can see the symbols. I'm looking, you know, I study the symbols and stuff. So here we go.
little customers were tasty freshwater perch, and soon the fish weren't flying but frying.
Fish that fell from the sky.
Some of them teetotal at that, swore that the fish came from the clouds, though how they got there is anyone's guess.
Mysteries from the files of Arthur C. Clarke.
So now we're being introduced here to Mr. Clarke, and watch.
Author of 2001 and inventor of the communication satellite. Now in retreat in Sri Lanka after a lifetime of science, space, and writing, he ponders the riddles of this and other worlds.
In retreat. Okay. Is. Now look at this.
That's ping pong.
He's got a ping pong table, and it's an advertisement for the club itself. Otters Club Colombo. Wow. That place is famous for pederasts to go for. It's like
that was like a meeting spot. So it's like yes. A cover. It's like it's, a cover. The ping
you
pong
got
cover.
Like a sauna there. You got a swimming pool, and all of them they get in. You know, they do their stuff in the back rooms.
Wow. So it's not just Clarke. Clarke is there with other pedo.
Yes, it is like. It's a flag post for the people that it's like, hey, come to this place specifically and you can play ping pong with a young boy wearing Daisy Dukes. Let's keep going here.
Wow, crazy. It's all male.
I'm almost embarrassed to tell you.
Yes, yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. Look at those boys in the pool just waiting. Just floating there. They're not swimming. They're just in the pool.
Do this because many of you simply won't believe me.
He said he's embarrassed. Here, wait, let me replay it.
I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this because many of you simply won't believe me. But a most extraordinary thing happened right here in my local swimming club in Colombo where every day I played.
Look at that dude walking.
Every past. Day he plays ping pong.
Yes, dude. Every day he goes to this place.
Table
and, it's and like a, that creepy it's like dude a oh, go ahead.
Gay bath or something almost like yes. A gay bathhouse.
Precisely.
Like that was big in San Francisco, and that's how all those right. People got AIDS is like they would go into the bathhouses on a weekend and have sex with 30 dudes or something like
right. Crazy. And the kids in Sri Lanka have an epidemic of AIDS. How do kids get
wow. AIDS? I didn't know that either. Wow, yeah. That's so dark. Man.
So the
it's from people like him, people are traveling.
Sex
around.
Tourists, yeah. They look for a younger child because they believe there's less risk of getting AIDS because they must have not had right. That much sex because they're young.
Right.
Wow. So, like, they that's what they seek because it's cleaner, in their opinion.
Wow.
It's disgusting.
Mister, yes, my partner here, Sarath.
His and partner Sarath.
His partner Sarath. I think.
So is that the guy who was like his lover and died young or something? I think that was.
It was. You're talking about the guy that did scuba diving with him.
Or like, he had some kind of like family. Male. He tried to be married to a woman,
right?
And that didn't work out. And then he had some kind of male.
No,
if that's Sarath, let me different. See if I can find.
No, Sarath. Sarath is a beach boy.
Okay.
So a beach boy, in quotes, is at the beach, like, what do you call it? Like in the beach coastal areas where there's tourism, boys will go to the beach and willingly pick up old men.
Oh, wow.
Like, so because
it's like the opposite.
That's how they get money. Their parents convince them to do that. There's quotes of parents that say, what's the problem? My son won't get pregnant.
That's the way they're thinking about
yes.
It.
Wow. Their economy is so depressed. It's like Weimar Germany all the time. For like they pay these people, they'll pay them like whatever, how many rupees, and it comes out to be like $2. And they'll like own them all day and rape them, you know, and take them home and do what they want. There's a dude that I was watching. He bought three daughters from their mother for a week and was just in the room with them doing whatever he wanted to them
wow.
For a week. $1,500 cash that he gave to the mother.
That's probably like 3 years of their salary.
Yeah, more than that. They could. I was reading that a kid could fillet an old man and get the same amount of money that he worked for, like, you know, days and days worth of work. So the morality has been so crushed because the economy is so destroyed. Just like Weimar Germany, like, anything's for sale. Right. But the laws, like, allow it more for the males, because for some reason there's a stigma. They think that a male can't, like, because a boy is strong or something, can't be vulnerable in that way or whatever. That there's just this weird blindness where they don't
different see. Morality. Well, like, it's a different moral code. Like in Islam, if the girl gets raped, it's her fault, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the inversion, right? It's like, right, that's the way they feel. That's why you got to wear your scarf and not be attractive to men, because it's not their, you know,
actions. Right. They're allowed to be animals and attack any woman they want.
Exactly. Like, it's your fault for being beautiful. But here's Arthur. This is from Wikipedia, but Clark was close to a Sri Lankan man, Leslie Ikenyake, who was only 30 years old when he died, but whom Clark called his only perfect friend of a lifetime in the dedication to his novel Fountains of Paradise. Clark is buried with Ikenyake, who predeceased him by 3 decades, in Colombo's Central Cemetery. In his biography of Stanley Kubrick, John Baxter cites Clark's homosexuality as the reason why he relocated due to more tolerant laws with regard to homosexuality in Sri Lanka.
Right. Isn't that the perfect cover? Oh, no, he's not touching kids. He's just a homo. That's why he's covering up.
That's all those.
Right. It's like, just like the LGBT, you know.
He's a full-on pederast or whatever.
Right.
He's just like, he's like David Ferry. He liked 15-year-old boys.
So this is like an advertisement. He says he's almost embarrassed to tell us that he comes here every day and plays with his partner, Seraph. And Seraph, like, reminds me of Seraphim and, like, this, like, Seraph, like, the, you know, the spheres on the tree of life and shit. Like, it's, but anyway, let's listen to what Seraph has to say.
He told me an extraordinary thing. Seraph, tell me what it was happened that day.
The day I saw some four or five fish. Fish. Under this Christmas tree here.
Under this tree?
Yeah.
And were they lying on the ground?
Yeah.
What do you feel when you saw them? What do you think?
I thought they'd come from the rainbow.
I see. You thought the fish might have come fallen from the rainbow.
Like, wow, okay.
Falling from the rainbow.
So what kind of, like, so we know that rainbow is a significant thing for them, and like fish, like, think about, like, when you go, you know, someone arrives at jail and it's like, oh, new fresh fish, right? The new victim, right? So rainbow fish falling from the sky. So this is one of the mysterious things he's
about. Well, it's curious. I have known about this kind of thing for 40 years, but I never dreamt that it would have happened right on my doorstep. I mean, what an extraordinary thing, fish falling from the sky.
Okay, so yeah, that's that piece. And now we're going to go to 17 minutes here. This is, they're talking about something that fell from the sky, like a rock.
Basically, from the evidence of the ice itself,
the evidence has to be that we
just don't know. Some mysterious pieces of ice have been analyzed, and people find tea leaves in them and things like that, and that can prove that it does come out of an airplane.
So let's look at what the tea leaves, this twilight language that he's also laying in. This guy's like saying, oh, the tea leaves, let's look at the proof of what the tea leaves will tell us.
In this case, you're left without any positive evidence of any specific origin.
Now, there may be something of real.
Okay, so now this is at 17. It was like at 17:17, right? Look at behind him.
Just more dudes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got this guy. You'll see that the one in the white shirt is just walking, but the guy in the yellow shirt there, he's got his hand like
he's got the, head, like the Masonic thing, right?
Yes, the Masonic head on his square. He's got like his elbows are making the square, and then his face is on top of his the right. top hand. So that's like being on the square. And then if you look at the what he's standing on, is a checkerboard.
Get out!
Look wow, at that. You right. see that
yeah, checkerboard? Yeah.
And so like this, and he's just staring at the camera. So like, let's watch again and listen to what Harper says.
Specific origin.
Now, there may be something of real scientific importance behind this.
Scientific importance behind this. Like what is behind him? Literally yeah. behind him. Scientific right. importance. This guy that's staring at the camera.
Of course, we know that ice can fall from aircraft. It can form on the wings. It can come, regrettably, from faulty toilets. So, what's important are the reports of ice falls long before the era of aircraft. For example, in 1847.
That dude was just standing there, staring at the camera the whole time.
Wow.
This looks like evidence to me that he's saying, hey, everybody, come to Sri Lanka. Where you can have a nice boy like Serif here, and we can play ping pong, and the ping pong parlors. I guess we can take this down now. That's enough of that. The ping pong parlors are where the boys go to pick up the old men, and that's where the old men go to find young boys. It's like the bar for like you know of age,
right, like a pickup bar or whatever, like exactly. they're going to pick up on each other. Wow.
Exactly. It's a kids game where adults can play too, and that's the same thing with Comet Ping Pong. And the logo for Comet Ping Pong is come T. It's C-O-M-E, like, which is a slang for ejaculate, right?
Right, I mean, but the comet is also apparently in their nomenclature and their kind of underground term. Oh, a comet is that. Like a relationship that burns brightly and goes away. Do you know
well,
that?
I that's, did. Well, I know.
Yeah, that's no, what it, that's that so it means like to me, it's something that falls through the sky. But in like personal relations or gay romance, it's like a relationship that burns bright and goes away. Like,
okay, I see. Like a tryst.
Yeah, you can look it up in the Urban Dictionary.
That's funny. But I mean, I was just saying that like the logo itself, it has a squirt of white. Like there's like a white droplet of white liquid right above Comet. Like it says come and then it's got the picture of ejaculate like in the logo. And then the rest of the logo is the star and the crescent moon of the Baphomet on both sides, like, a you know, right. as above, so below.
Yeah, though it's totally occulted, man.
Right.
They lied about everything in Comet. Like they, right. And there were, I think one researcher found their website had CP on it, ugh. Cheese pizza, on some kind of hidden server or something. And that's like the guy goes in and shoots the server.
Right. Right. That's so the where one the place where the bullet goes.
The only bullet goes in the server. Sorry, everything's erased.
Right.
What yeah. a surprise.
So I mean,
he drove all the way from like North Carolina or something. It's almost like the Buffalo shooter. Like, I don't even know why he drove all the way to Buffalo to commit a race crime. Like,
cause he was programmed to do so. He's probably one of those MK Ultra, like, you know, Manchurian candidate types that you tell them a thing and like, okay.
John, those don't exist.
Right. Okay. All right. So, yeah.
I interviewed this guy about the traveling mad bishops, and I said that hypnosis is the Rosetta Stone of post-war American history. It really, it's everywhere, dude.
Look at the propaganda commercials.
RFK, JFK, MLK.
Right.
It's incredible. Yeah,
all the murders, right.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And it's a perfect way to do, like, you have some patsy shooting a gun. Everybody yeah. looks at him, and nobody yep. looks at the cop who shoots Kennedy in the back of the head, like Robert at least. So, yeah.
Dude, I'm going to do a show later today for people who listen. I'll put it up, but it's about David Ferry hypnotizing people, and he knew post-hypnotic suggestion. So he wasn't a piker. Ferry was not a piker, and it was overlooked in everything, like JFK, the movie, and almost no JFK researcher wants to talk about that, maybe for their credibility or sanity. But Ferry, like, dude, Garrison said Ferry was one of the most important people who ever lived. I don't think he was joking. Like, it's incredible. Ferry was involved in almost kind of like P. Diddy. Like, he was involved in all kinds of pies, like, including stuff like Clark Light. Right.
Right. And then if you understand about, like, hypnotism and the mind control, and then you look at what Kanye said about that Pasternak guy and the tweet that he – or the, not the, the text that he showed from Pasternak about, I will drug you into oblivion and you'll never see your kids again. Like, that's really how it works. You know, if they can't control them like P. Diddy does with the gay sex and the weird blackmail, they're going to go at their heads with, like, strap them down to a board and electroshock them. You know,
it's crazy. They just want control over everything, dude. Yeah. That's, it's all about control.
Right. And control comes from fear. Yeah. Fear is the opposite of love. Like, that's what the Satanists thrive on, is this opposite of natural, you know, love.
No, you're right. It's like control and fear and everything. That's the same dynamic.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway. Okay. So back to the, so ping pong is a obvious tell, you know, and the fact that he's playing ping pong of all things, he could have just kept walking on the beach with his rainbow umbrella, you know, and said all that stuff. He didn't have to have a young boy wearing Daisy Duke, you know, short shorts,
yeah, playing short shorts, yeah.
Like, so anyway, so that's what he puts out to the public, right?
Right.
So let's, right. You want to talk about what he doesn't tell people? Let's, we got those articles, I guess.
Those articles, let's bring them back up and let's go.
So this is the first
one. Which one do you want to start with? Sex, Smirk of a Pervert and Liar, or Sex, Shame of Arts and Secrets?
the other one doesn't any harm, damage come from fuss? Here, if you look in the chat, the top link, freelibrary.com, it doesn't. Yeah.
What do you want? Do you want one of these two articles or something else?
Oh, there's a third one. There's okay. A third one at the top of the chat here, where we're in with the chat here in the StreamYard. So I guess I want to
start. Well, that link didn't work. That's the problem. You have to resend it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It goes up to a 404 page now. You have to resend that
first. One second. I got it here. I got it. Okay. Sorry, everybody.
The other two links work fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know why, but we'll fix it.
Let's figure it out. Let's try this.
Okay.
I can just type in that.
Okay, let's see if that... Oh, again. What the hell? Well, okay. Well, I'll read it from my side. How about this?
Let me see. Let me see if I can bring it.
Okay.
Doesn't Car Clark.
So I can, while you're looking to see if you
can. Why don't you just, you can bring it up on your side. Okay. Yeah,
start
there. It doesn't do any harm. Most right. of the damage comes from fuss of hysterical parents. Is that the one?
Yes, that's the quote from him. One of the quotes. Okay. So for the listeners, I guess, sitting in a room he calls his ego chamber, Arthur C. Clarke finally admitted his lifelong secret. Not only is he gay, but he prefers sex with Beach Boys. He gives it the ego chamber because he's surrounded by pictures of himself. I'm in favor of efforts to stop it. They're talking about these guys. Okay. So the Sunday Mirror, February 1st, the Sunday Mirror in London, February 1st, 1998, Clark was about to receive, was just like days away from receiving the OBE knighthood from Prince Charles, who was going to fly to Sri Lanka to give it to him personally. And because of this, the Sunday Mirror sent two reporters down there who just walked up to his house and didn't say that they were reporters. And they just struck up a conversation. So this is how they get this information. This is how they get these quotes. And when asked Clark about suggestions that he may have been one of the original pioneers of sex tourism in Sri Lanka, he gave a wry smile and said, "I am more amused than disgusted that anyone should think that." He's amused
Wow.
that he promoted the sex travel to Sri Lanka. He was like one of the first.
Wow. So he was one of the first to figure it out. Wow. Yes. And Sri Lanka didn't have.
Go ahead.
Yeah, according to LGBT stuff, the Sri Lankans never had any legal. It was never illegal. They didn't have the Western kind of anti-homosexual thing, like from Christian morality or whatever it is. They just didn't exist until Europeans imposed it on Sri Lankans. It was just like a natural thing.
That's weird.
Wow.
Yeah, it, because they didn't consider, like, it's weird. There was like some kind of weird stigma with like remaining, like not having sex until you're married or something, and then, but you can go have gay sex with your friends until that moment when you're actually, it's some weird dynamic that they have going on there. There's a lot of weird cultures that do that kind of stuff. I mean, in Colombia, they have sex with donkeys before they have to practice having sex before they get with a real woman.
It's where in Colombia?
Yeah, Colombia.
Wow, that's crazy.
Have you ever heard
that if you, like in certain South American cultures, if you sodomize somebody, you're not the gay one. You're considered gay. Have you heard that?
That's the same way in jail.
Oh yeah, it's like, yo, I'm not gay. I just sodomize them.
I was the pusher instead of the taker. Great. So that makes me not so bad.
The catcher.
Yeah, it's like a domination thing at that point. You know, I mean, that kind of is why.
It's like the P. Diddy thing, isn't that probably it? I bet they're nobody. They're all sodomizing for power play, right?
Like buck breaking, in the old days of slavery, right? To like bring them down and make them subservient, to the alpha male. It's sick.
Dude. Probably just like jail. That's what they do,
right?
Like they just like humiliate.
Yeah. Yeah, it breaks them down mentally, and it's the same thing with SRA. Like sexual abuse, it traumatizes the brain, you know.
Right.
Even Crowley talked about, right? Apparently anal abuse is way worse. It hits your brain with some kind of weird kundalini magic, and it like really fucks with people. Excuse my language.
Right. I'll keep reading this because it shows that Clark wasn't some independent. He was with other people.
Yeah.
He repeated the phrase often used by pedophiles. I think most of the damage comes from the fuss made by hysterical parents afterwards. If the kids don't mind, fair enough. Gross. In recent years, Clark's name has been linked with two notorious pedophiles, one of whom, a Swiss millionaire, was kicked out of Sri Lanka on the orders of the president for abusing impoverished beach boys. He is now awaiting trial in Zurich, accused of sexually abusing up to 1,500 young boys.
Jeez.
And like Clark, was friends with a lot of Sri Lanka's top politicians, senior policemen, and influential government figures. So they're courting these government officials to make sure they look the other way. It's just like P. Diddy, man. Or Epstein, right?
Right. It almost seems like he's there.
That's part of the program.
To bring in these pedophile people that they can then, maybe they're doing filming them, maybe they got, you know, maybe
getting money,
part of that whole system of like blackmail that might be happening, because we know like Dennis Hastert would go to Thailand and stuff, like, so maybe Clark was, you know, part of their system and on the inside helping to bring more
blackmail people, right. Sick. Clark is said to have attended parties at the tycoon's home. When asked if he had, Clark replied, "I may well have done. I mean, the very first man I met here in 1954 was a pedophile and made no bones about it. He was in intelligence in the army, a fantastic guy."
Yeah.
So they caught him with his guard totally down.
He's being totally honest. Yeah. And meanwhile, in a week or so, Prince Charles is going to be there to give him a big award. Like, make him a knight of the
knight, yeah, OBE, like Jimmy Savile, British Empire, yeah. Right. Yeah. Clark said of his sexual preferences, "Here it would embarrass everyone right up to the president. I mean, I am chancellor of the university, a public figure. That is the problem. So I would be swallowed alive. I would probably be outed. You see, these days the frail, white-haired old man gets around with the aid of a wheelchair and crutches following a polio attack 15 years ago. But Clark's fading health does not stop him enjoying his favorite pastime." Playing table tennis with schoolboys, a notorious pickup haunt for perverts, called the Otters Aquatic Club. So we just saw the Otters Aquatic Club.
Yeah, exactly. They even said, like, this place is notorious pickup for beach boys.
Crazy. Crumbling in need of a coat of paint, the Otters is a meeting point for Westerners who lust after young boys. Those who hang around its games room, pool, and tennis courts are perfect prey and are easily persuaded to sell themselves for 1,000 rupees, about 10 pounds, a small fortune to them. It's like 20 bucks American back then, 20 years ago. Clark goes there regularly in the afternoon. He said on there he's there every day, right?
Yeah.
He said on that video. Hobbling on a walking stick, a challenge to boys, some as young as 12, to a game of ping pong. Asked what his definition for pedophilia was, Clark said, there are two different definitions. Anyone who interferes with young boys who are not old enough to know their own minds, and that's my definition. It varies for me. Asked how he knew whether the boys really did know their own minds, as he had known them for long, he said, because pure and simply, they looked reasonably mature enough for me.
That's all.
Told one of them was just 13. He said, if he was 13, he will be a very mature 13. Asked if he thought that it was morally wrong, he replied, no. To that, some of the boys had told us they would not have had sex if he had not given them money. He said, I'm sure. I didn't make anyone do anything they didn't enjoy doing. The Sunday Mirror spoke to three boys who claimed to have had sex encounters with Clark.
So they got those on tape. And I forget who, if it was like Interpol or something, like some police wanted to get those tapes and they wouldn't give it, the newspaper wouldn't give up the tapes. The Sunday Mirror.
Sunday Mirror wouldn't do it.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess I don't know if that was the end of that.
But that wasn't. I mean, I just keep going. Godwin Sorry. Fernando, 33, a former slum boy who scrapes a living selling lottery tickets on street corners, claims he was enticed into Clark's bedroom at 13 after being invited to his house. He wanted me to give him a massage and showed me how to rub his legs. He put his hands on my shorts and started playing around. He wanted oral sex with me and said he would give me some money to help my family. I never liked the sex. I did it for the money. He told me never to tell anyone about the visits to his home.
Think about how many thousands and thousands of kids that Clark has. I mean,
oh, thousands. I mean, if that Swiss millionaire raped 1,500, then, and he's there every day. Imagine.
Jesus.
Like, so he was there for decades, right? If every day he had and one.
So like he's the.
That's like in 10,000, like.
And he goes around in like a Rolls Royce or like some wicked expensive car. And so everybody in town is like, oh, there he goes. Whoa. You know, the money.
I mean, he had the admiration. He was like knighted by the Sri Lankan government, too. So.
Right. Well, he did get the OBE eventually after this scandal broke. Clark was like, oh, well, he said the reasoning was that they were just trying to smear Prince Charles and it's all hogwash and don't believe it. So they just
he's trying to smear Prince Charles through
blaming Clark. Me. I'm a pedophile. Right. Just by having association with, you know, so like, Clark asked to put it off and said, maybe don't do it now. Maybe. And then they did it later, like a year later, they came and gave him the OBE. After everything was covered up by Rupert Murdoch. And I don't think Prince Charles actually went now after all that. But anyway, continue. Sorry.
It's just incredible. It's pretty graphic, man. He's having people over. Like, they found the dudes who he victimized. Anton Batoni, former translator for UK charity Save the Children, told how he was introduced to Clark at the Otters Club by his pedophile boss when he was just 17. Arthur invited me to his house and asked me to give him a massage in his bedroom. At the time, there were photographs of boys on the bedroom wall, and he kept pornographic photographs of boys in a locked cabinet by his bed. He liked to show them to me before we had sex, but I wasn't really interested. I've sent four or five other boys. So it's just like Epstein. You get one, and then you get the rest. I sent four or five other boys to his house because he asked me if I had any friends who needed, quote, help, unquote, meaning money. Anton, now 31, added, at the Otters Club, I saw him talking to one boy and heard him invite him back to his home. He was 15 years old and still at school. As a teenager, Sunil Jayatilekhi said he was picked up by a beach pimp as he swam and taken to Clark's house. He said, I went into bedroom to give Arthur a massage. It's like Epstein, right? They started out with massages.
Gross.
He was wearing a sarong and took it off and lay naked on the bed. Gave me 15 pounds. Clark was born in Minehead, where Mavis, but
This is, I mean, it's just horrific. It's so horrifying. So
Clark publicly supports the Sri Lanka's gay rights movement and has donated a number of pro-gay books, including photographic studies of male nudes. Asked if in the past he was gay, Clark had always replied, "No, just mildly sure." He was always, everybody knew he was gay. Like, it was an open secret.
It's so gross. But he's gay for 12-year-old boys is what he's gay for. That's what he's gay for. Mildly cheerful when they're, like, doing what they do to him. It's so disgusting.
I want to see if Otters is still there. If
it's
still,
I actually looked it up. Is it still there in Sri Lanka? Yeah, it's still going. It's in Colombo. Wow. And like, I looked at some of the reviews of it. Some people were happy, but other people were like, this place is a dump. Why are they in business? How do they survive business? Because this place is like the paint. And even in this article, they're like, the paint's coming off. It's like, the what sustains the business is the pedophilia and the
outside people showing up, right?
So right. That's, and bringing their money to go bang little kids, you know. It's sick. Oh,
sick.
They got a website.
Wow.
Yeah, look, I mean, does this look like paradise to you? It's like walls.
Gate. Oh, yeah. The Otter Aquatic Club. There it is.
Yeah, all the kids can't run away. You can't see what's in there because of that big wall. Yeah. Oh, and the kids are locked in. Disgusting.
Dude.
Yeah, it's like a prison. It's built like a prison. Anyway, wow, that's where they go.
Sinister quality to
it. Place with very small windows, no windows on the first floor. Like,
it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. And like I said, the reviews are not good. Some of them are good, like, but they're the way that they word it. It's very interesting the way they word it. Seems like they're giving trigger words in the. You know, in the review,
in the reviews and stuff.
Yeah, like a pro pedo guy was like, "Yeah, it's good, but you know, those things just overlooked at, and you know, it's good for you," and like that kind of weird language. But anyway, so continue. This one,
this is smirk of a pervert and a liar. Like, they really went after him.
This one is February 8th, 1998, Sunday Mirror. This is a week later. Go ahead.
Child sex pervert Arthur C. Clarke raises his glass and grins during a state banquet attended by Prince Charles. He brazenly mingled with dignitaries at the dinner in the Sri Lankan capital of Colombo on Thursday night, even shaking hands with Charles, now King Charles. Just 4 days earlier, the Sunday Mirror had revealed how the 80-year-old author of 2001 A Space Odyssey had admitted to paying for sex with young boys. Afterwards, he agreed to pull out of a ceremony in which he was to be knighted by Charles, but denied being a pedophile. But Clark is a liar, and we have the evidence to prove it. On the right, we reproduce part of a tape recording of our reporter Graham Johnson's interview with Clark. We also have a copy of a secret document which names Clark as a pedophile known to members of the NAMBLA, North American Boy Lovers Association, one of the world's most notorious sex networks. I forgot about NAMBLA.
Gets better and better, doesn't it? It's just like just piling on, like, holy crap.
Oh my gosh. U.S. detectives who arrested leaders of the association 10 years ago say Clark was named by other pedophiles as they quizzed during an FBI investigation. The perverts had set up children's homes in Thailand as fronts for their sick activities. One of its leaders was Jonathan Tampico, 48, a top nuclear scientist who worked for the American government. He served 2.5 years in jail for molesting a boy of 12. And is now on the run with $1 million warrant on his head for further porn offenses.
So he's doing porn.
Yeah. Another pedophile,
porn,
former like church minister
documentation. You know, like when it's a kid on camera, they can't consent. So it is not porn. You know, porn has like people think of it as like positive. Oh, I like porn. You know, it's not porn, it's evidence of child abuse. You know, that's all it is, because they can't consent. So we need to frame our thinking like that. When they use these words, you know, just like I said, I don't want to use the word sex tourism because it's like it connotes
sex rape, sex traveler rapist.
Right, rape travel or something.
Rape travelers, yeah. Tampico told detectives he had stayed at Clark's home in Colombo and had swapped letters with the author. So he was full on associated with arrested people in NAMBLA. Another known pedophile, former church minister John Wakefield Cummings, 56, is serving a 24 years to life sentence after admitting molesting 17 boys in his care. He told police in Sacramento, California, that Clark had been contacted at his Sri Lankan home by a pedophile who was on the run from the American authorities. In a sworn statement made to an investigator for Sacramento's district attorney, Wakefield Cummings told how the pervert fled to Sri Lanka, where he was able to contact the pedophile community through Clark. He then fled from Sri Lanka to Indonesia. So there's a pedophile community. So
Clark is the plug. He's the plug in to get access to the pedophile community. You're like, wow. Like,
wow, that's so dark, crap, man. Detectives contacted a child welfare group to warn them about Clark's activities. He's 80 at the time. Like, how much damage has he done? He was in Sri Lanka since 1956. And it's like 1998, right? So literally
40 before it was Sri Lanka. He was there when it was Ceylon, like totally like still under British control, you know. And when British pulled out, when Britain like gave them freedom, they just left them in the dust, just like Jamaica. They, you know, they had to fend for themselves, and they're still, their economy is still effed up, you know.
A senior Sacramento detective said, "Yeah, we never had any reason to take action against Arthur C. Clarke because he was outside of our jurisdiction, but Clarke's name did keep coming up. We were looking into members of the Boy Lovers, it's Nambla, who all seemed to know or be aware of him. He ended up connecting to a lot of people we were investigating." I read this so long ago, I've totally forgotten something. Tampico was one of those who said he went to Sri Lanka. I've seen letters between him and Arthur C. Clarke. But there was nothing overtly sexual in them, but they were clearly corresponding.
So we'll know them by their fruits, as it were. Like, what is, like, there's nothing good that, I mean, Clark was a genius, and yeah, geosynchronous satellites, but look at what his whole life has been dedicated to, ping pong with Beach Boys, you know, paying them $2 for like a, you know, and those kids grow up the rest of their lives just like abused. Their heads
abused. They're like wrecked. They're wrecked. Yeah. You can see it in the Epstein victims too. They're all messed up. A lot of them get into drugs.
So yeah.
This is the quote I have. Literally the bottom part of this smirk of a pervert and a liar.
Right. Same article. Right.
My section of that's from that. So I didn't get into some of the old pedophile connections, which I should have. If I rewrite Children of the Beast, I have to put more of these articles in there. But man, that's so freaking bad, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like
in part of the network.
At the beginning of the first article, like, I mean, we were kind of going kind of fast, but he says what other pedophiles say, that it doesn't do any harm to the kid. The only harm is when the parents get all mad. I mean, really, they just can't. I won't believe this is harm.
Right.
I'm giving them money. And that then their morality, they don't have any guilt, and that they can continue doing the evil. It's just sick. I mean, to think about their minds and how their minds work and this immorality that they perpetuate their whole life. How do they, I mean, wow. A normal person would be like, maybe it's wrong. Maybe after all these years, like, and like reading the articles of the victim saying like how traumatizing it was and he wouldn't have done it unless it was for the money. And Clark is like, whatever. Right, no remorse.
I'm fine. I mean, probably there's a little bit of British racism there too, right? These are all like subjects of the Queen, and they're not even British citizens and whatever, you know.
Good point.
Like, I think that might be involved and not stated. But
right.
I think you can deduce that. I mean,
and that goes back. That's part of Satanism. You know, right. Satanists think they are above others and they have the right to kill or do whatever they want to them.
And that's the Luciferianism. That's definitely, I mean, Luciferianism, literally, I think in the Space Odyssey, the second Space Odyssey, the sun or the moon becomes a new sun called Lucifer.
Right.
Like the light of Lucifer is on the world. Like that's Clark.
Right.
And that makes perfect sense.
It was Jupiter. Like in the book, Arthur's book of 2001, the monolith came from Saturn.
Wow. So it's from Satan.
Kubrick changed it. Kubrick changed it to Jupiter. And if you understand the significance, the occult significance of what those planets represent, like Saturn is like Satanism and control. and fear and basically control, you know. And Jupiter is like abundance and growth and good luck and, you know, unbounded expansion. So like Kubrick took Clark's satanic thing and turned it around to be like, oh no, this is a Jupiter energy, right? So like, instead of like us thinking that this greatness came from an evil place, Kubrick is making the great things come from a positive, good place. And just like that movie Nope, at the end it was Jupe's claim, this big thing, this balloon that's named Jupe, Jupiter, which defeats this evil thing like evil. Saturn in the sky, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of occult. So like this goes through like current stuff and way back into the old days. Jupiter and Saturn are like competing forces for our worship, I guess, or you know. And
right. For people who don't know, like the monolith is 11 feet tall in the book, so it's fully the number of magic, right? And this is corresponds to like Apollo 11. That's what he's involved in, is the fake moon landing. So this guy knows the right kind of magical current, magical tradition. There's no question about it. And if Kubrick had to probably learn about from, I have pictures of them which I can bring up, but like there's pictures of them.
Show the one with Spielberg. Okay, that yeah. So that's the guy that he moved to Sri Lanka with.
The guy in the center.
The guy in the center, who's like 17 or some shit at the time, yeah. And then they would go, you know, gallivanting in the water or do whatever.
Right.
So
this is him on set, right?
Yeah. But definitely show the Spielberg one, because remember from the article, there's Wernher von Braun.
Yeah, there's paperclip Nazi. So Wernher von Braun has said there's no way we could make it to the moon. We would have to have like the equivalent of 4 spaceships the size of the World Trade Center to get enough fuel to get out there and get back. Like that's Wernher von Braun. This guy was a full genius. Like, totally. He is extraordinary. He was doing calculations for the V2 rockets without a computer. Like, he was doing them in his brain, like freaking full on calculations of trajectory, weight. Right. The mathematical calculations are off the chart. Like, for these early rocket sciences, now they can do it all with computers, but like, he was like writing it all.
So a real brain back then, you know.
Yeah, they had real brains. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't relying on computers. Arthur, Childhood's End is like the full on, the entity is like a demon, right? It looks like the people's representation of the devil. And then it's funny, like, because humanity goes to the stars, and that's the end of our childhood. So it's almost like a different, he provides like a different ending for humanity, different than the Bible, right?
Well, what is Childhood's End? That's puberty, right? You think about it.
Maybe like, that's the subtext. Or like, maybe they should read his freaking fiction for like pedophile themes. I wouldn't be surprised these guys put it in there. Just like, was it Alice in Wonderland or what's the other? Yeah, it's like all, it's a pedo story.
Right? And the dude
was a full on.
Yeah.
He liked Dodgson.
Right. The guy who did.
Dodgson.
Yeah, yeah.
Prelude to Space is this character. Prometheus. So he's got this. So he's putting his kind of esoteric knowledge into these. No question.
Right.
There's him in his study that he was talking about.
Right. His ego chamber. Oh, and I just wanted to say before that about the Jupiter Saturn thing, he turns the Jupiter, the good thing of Jupiter, he turns it into Lucifer in his next book. He's like, no, Kubrick, no, this good thing that you like so much, it's Lucifer now.
Yeah, he's a full-on Mysterian. There's no question. And at the beginning of Rendezvous to Rama, he's got like the 77s and 93. So he knows Crowley. Like, it's incredible. These are not mistakes, dude. And these guys, he emulates some of these other so-called fictional writers. Like the guy who wrote Communion. What was his name? Like, that guy with the aliens is
full-on.
No,
Asimov, and then this guy. They were like the top.
Somebody told me that. So Asimov's son got busted with the biggest thing of child pornography in human history. Have you ever heard that?
Are you kidding? No, I never heard that.
Yeah. So the son was like, he got busted for having the biggest aggregate of library of child porn in human history. And he got off on it with a slap of the wrist. Like, he should have gone to jail forever, and they should have tracked down, like, how the hell this is being done. But each I was told that
that's created is another instance of abuse. Like, think about how many children had to be abused in order to create that huge library that he has.
Right. So just tons of, just like a mountains of abuse, you know, like an Everest of abuse was in his library. And he didn't get charged, or he got a slap on the wrist. I was told by a credible researcher that the dad was a pedo too. So Isaac Asimov and his son were like the family trait was pedophilia, which is gets really super dark. And it ties into the present thing. Like Zuckerberg was in Congress recently, like within the last month, and they were saying, like, you are allowing child abuse material. They call it CSAM now, child sexual something.
Child sexual abuse material.
That's right.
Right.
And these people were like, you're continuing our abuse by allowing it on your site. And he never took it off. And it ties into Clark and Diddy, because I think that he's allowing that, or whoever's behind Facebook. And so there's all kinds of spooks involved in a lot of these tech companies. They're doing it for blackmail. So they know what you're exchanging. And that's probably the whole underground goal of pornography. And that should scare everybody out there. That's the underground goal of pornography. Whatever it is, there's somebody at NSA knows your tastes.
You know,
yeah. And if you, you know.
Who runs the porn industry, you know? And then who runs Hollywood? And who was Kanye talking about? You know, like,
oh, right.
It's like,
well, there's definitely a Jewish element. I mean, people are afraid to say it, but
yeah, well, no,
it's not all afraid, Jews, like, but there's a lot of Jews in the porn industry.
Of course, it's not all one, but I mean, it's funny that the porn industry kind of started from that Jewish mafia, and like Hollywood too started from the Jewish mafia. They had to escape from New York and go to Hollywood because like all the legal troubles they had in New York. So like it. I mean, it's the blackmail thing. It's not just the Jews, of course, but it's like the whole system of kakistocracy of like hierarchical structures of power. If you're working with psychopaths, obviously they don't trust each other. You know, they don't trust anybody. The only way to get them to follow orders is blackmail. You know, money only goes so far. Like, people can get all the money they want playing the game, rigged game, you know.
The insight into P. Diddy is that's the way a lot of these things were run. That's the way Hollywood's that's the real iron fist of Hollywood underneath the surface of this kind of shiny thing is that it's almost run like a mob. Like you have fixers, cleaners, drugs, you've got blackmail, you've got all the stuff, Hefner, all that stuff. Hefner's
all on camera, documented.
If you want to just kind of generalize like a bunch of Jew hatred or something like that, because Hefner was not Jewish. I'm just saying.
I mean, like the Roman Catholics.
People are trying to smear them Jews or whatever.
But the Roman Catholics are the ones that gave those Jews all their money. You know what I mean? It's like it's the same like ancient Rome. Like they are the one. I'm in my opinion. I think that there's people higher up on the level. Like the Jews are the ones that are just doing the money stuff. And ever since like when the Pope way back when made it illegal for usury, but the Jews can do it, you know, that's because they had their court Jews. It's only because of the tradition of the money handling and the popes and stuff. So I didn't mean to take us off track.
But. No, it's okay. No, but it's kind of part of the larger issue, but
right.
Clark. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the pornography, each one of those, like you were saying how the pornography is a way to, it's like a honey trap for all the pedophiles so that they can collect them, get that information and then use them. Right. If you look at Kathy O'Brien's story, her dad was making child CSAM of her being abused, and he was sending tapes through the mail, and they found it because it's interstate, the FBI or whatever. Like they came to him and said, we can either put you in jail or you can work for us and we'll make you rich. Wow. You can sell us your daughter and we can do what we want to, or give her to you know.
Right, and that's kind of almost ties back into Clark, right? He founds one victim, and then that guy brings him five more, just like Epstein. So it's like this viral abuse, and it's almost like the abuse is like, welcome to my Luciferian world. Like, this is a world of abuse. You know what I mean? And I'm continuing to abuse.
Your free will.
He was probably abused, right? And so then he's just continuing the whole cycle, intergenerational abuse cycle.
Right. Like that Tool song where it's like, you know, the prison sex. It's, you know, it's like, oh, I was abused and then now I'm the abuser. You know, that's how the words go. And it's like, you know, it's disgusting shit. It's really gross. I'm sorry, my language again. Sorry.
It's all right. But this is an incredible picture because it shows the connection between Kubrick, Clark, and NASA.
Right.
So this is George Mueller, who was like one of the top guys at NASA. And that's mid-60s. They're in England. And they called, when they were making a space odyssey, it's just like a colloquial term, but they called it NASA East. You know, because it was something similar to NASA. Like there were clear overlaps of what was going on. You know,
right?
You know, this is just full on evidence. This guy George Mueller. You can see him during the fake moon landing. Like he's in one of the sequences. And it's Wernher von Braun too. You know, these guys are all in on the big.
Right.
You know, it was part of the Cold War. Right. The moon landing was the way to tout capitalism.
Right.
And
we can reach higher than you.
We can reach higher.
Taller Babylon Tower than you do. We can reach the moon.
And that, it's actually part of the weird Kennedy assassination because Johnson was part of these huge deceptions.
Right.
Like the, what's the incident that started the Vietnam War? It was
Gulf of Tonkin.
Gulf of Tonkin incident was fake, and this is fake. It's all fake. So there's Kubrick and Clark together,
right? And so like the NASA people needed to learn from Kubrick how to light the stuff, how to do it properly. You know, it might not have been Kubrick who actually filmed the footage of the fake moon landing, but it was like they learned from him. Like he impressed them with that Dr. Strangelove, and because they denied him the inside of that. The plane, and with his own research he was able to make an exact replica. They were like, no, you can't use, you know, nowadays how the military gives equipment to the movies to go film, and as long as they paint the military in a positive light,
right,
there's that's like common,
it's still common there, this is common knowledge, yeah,
right, so like they denied him the use of the plane, and he went and created the inside of that plane exact, and they were like, wow, that was impressive. And then ever since then he's like, they are learning from him. That's why all those NASA guys are there hanging out. Everybody thinks that he's learning from them to make a nice movie, but it's the other way around. I think that they're like taking,
and I think Sibrel, Bart Sibrel, moon man, he's studied the moon landing forever, decades. He said that they had a top secret lot in like Arizona or New Mexico. That's where they filmed it, which makes sense. I mean, guys, the American government has huge projects, secret projects you have no idea about. MK Ultra was one of them. Manhattan Project was one of them. The moon landing was one of them. There's all kinds of heavy duty stuff.
Right. And all this blackmail and Epstein stuff, that's one of them, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
The government's running the blackmail. Yeah. And it's worldwide. No, you know, like when it
should scare the living crap out of you, because DARPA is like one of these things that's getting all these defense, like high end stuff. Like,
right.
We don't know. I mean, I don't know what was in the shots that people took, but the original devil's juice or voodoo juice that was in there came out of DARPA in 2015. Like, if people knew that DARPA was involved in warp speed, they would just freak out. They'd just be like, this is terrifying, dude. I would never touch that. I will never touch a needle in my life. I would rather have somebody point a freaking double-barreled shotgun in my face and threaten to pull the trigger than have a syringe of any type.
Right. You know,
I'm crazy. Like, you want to put a syringe in your body after these people are in power? You should check yourself into a mental institution and ask for the rubber room and get a straitjacket, because you are crazy as F. No question.
I've learned that they're trying to make pretty much all injections mRNA now. I've learned they're trying to make like regular anesthesia for if you go to the dentist and get a tooth pulled or whatever, like they're going to make those mRNA shots with the lipid nanoparticle and all this.
The average hospital is
afraid of all of them now. Dude.
It's a freaking mortuary. Go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been, I think. Right?
I think it's always kind of been, but it's much more overt and obvious now.
Yeah. Before they used to just bleed.
Deliberately killing people. They're murderers. See, I liken them to Nazis. A lot of these people are no different than Nazis. They're actually just more sophisticated because they can kind of clean their hands and stay separate from it. So, yeah.
Well, if you look at IG Farben and Siemens and like Bayer and stuff, these are all Nazi companies. You know, like they're still going.
The American ones have been hollowed out and replaced people with Nazi intent. And some of them, a lot of them are Jewish too. Like, yeah. I mean, that's what's really scary is like, whoa.
It's interesting that the Jews are doing a genocide now. It's like, yeah. I thought you guys didn't like genocide. What the heck? Yeah,
it's not the principle. It's the fluid moral code. It's pretty
right. Yeah. We're like, right. We're better than you. Like, it's the same as it's just Satanism. It's not really it's Judaism. Satanism, it's like where they see themselves as superior and that they can kill others. Basically eugenics. Mm. Like it's the same ideology as all the other dark occult people. Yep. You know, like anyway, yeah,
it's very dark, man. What's going on in Gaza is could not be darker.
Yeah.
It's about demographics too. It's there's a lot going on. Like it's
the food thing is even scarier. Like,
yeah, the food thing's bad, and the fact that you can just like say everybody's Hamas. I think a Hamas is underneath your church. We're going to blow it up. You know?
Okay. And then there
and there's the our weapons. They're weapons. Fire. Dude, did you ever see the airlift into Israel that was approved by Blinken? It was like, these huge transport planes, like we're just going around the clock, dropping off. C-150s are just dropping off 2,000-pound bombs on the daily. They're just over and over and over again. It was all hidden from the American public. Those are your bombs committing genocide on kids too, which is, I mean, the other thing, what's also interesting comes to mind is like the Old Testament Bible is like eye for an eye, right?
Right.
But like a lot of those people in this whole October 7th event were killed by the Israeli military. Exactly. They were strafed under the Hannibal directive.
Right.
So they had killed 100 people or something. And a lot of the rape stories are fake. A lot of them have been discredited. Oh, yeah. And now they killed 30,000 people. So...
just like how they started the Gulf
War. It's like you're not even following the Bible, bro.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like,
and then when you look into it, it's like all a false flag, just like the Gulf of Tonkin. Anyway, yeah, like, it was allowed to happen and it paid for by the by Israel. So like it's
a moment that they could do it. Yeah. I mean, I think that
this is how we start a war. We gotta be like, oh, they did that to
us. Do you know that Hitler had his own fixer to start all these wars like that he started? He had one guy that would go fake stuff. So like when they invaded Poland, there was a guy they sent out that made it look like the Poles attacked Germany, right? So this is like 1939 or something like that. I forgot the guy's name. You can look him up. Like Hitler had his own like drug guest. Like his name was Morrell, who would just shoot him up with freaking.
Oh, that guy. Meth. Follow him around everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, follow him around everywhere. The Fuhrer's tired. He cannot come out, and then 5 minutes later, the Fuhrer's in great shape. He right. But I have to look this up. But this guy faked all these wars, and the invasion of Belgium and Poland was a fixer. Like they were all fixed, and drove the Germans crazy. So like when Goebbels like told the Germans the Polish invaded, the whole nation went up in arms. Like we can't have this. And it's the same thing in the Gulf of Tonkin, same thing October 7th, same thing 9/11. They pull the same stunts over and over again on the people. And people just, I mean,
like, why don't people get it yet? And of course, they haven't changed their playbook because it works every time. People are just like, duh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think even like Borman or one of the guys said, you just do the same thing every time. You find an enemy and you,
right, make an us and them.
Yeah.
Like, demonize them. We are great. Yeah, right. And that this brings everybody
dude, this is the guy right here. Look up Alfred. Oh, let me see if I can find it. Alfred Naujox staged the Gleiwitz incident, but he also staged something else. Like he made it through World War II. Like this guy was just full of. He did the same thing in Belgium. Yeah,
right. This is how they get our consent. This is how they engineer our consent. You know, and it's the same as what the television commercials from the 50s. You know, it's really
anyway. Let's get back. So these are more pictures of Kubrick with Clark, just a lot together. But this is the connection between Epstein and Virginia Giuffre's Minsky. Minsky, it says here, Minsky was an advisor on Stanley Kubrick's movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. One of the movie's characters, Victor Kaminsky, was named in Minsky's honor. Minsky is mentioned explicitly in Arthur C. Clarke's derivative novel of the same name, where he is portrayed as achieving a crucial breakthrough in artificial intelligence in the then future 1980s, paving the way for HAL 9000 in the early 20th century and AI right now, which is a woke AI, at least Google's woke AI. Like this overlaps into real world things, but Minsky is named as Virginia Giuffre. She was sent by Epstein or Maxwell to Minsky. It's really sick. So this is the picture you wanted me to show.
Yeah. Look at Spielberg's face. I know the listeners can't see, but I'll describe it, I guess. Like, okay, there's three people here. Harrison Ford in the middle, which, interestingly enough, Eyes Wide Shut, some people speculate Dr. Har Ford, the word came from Harrison Ford. Kubrick mashed those together to make Har Ford. So maybe Harrison Ford has seen more than, I mean, there's rumors that he walked into those Eyes Wide Shut parties. But anyway, there's Arthur Clarke with his sarong and his t-shirt, and he's got his arm on Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford has his arm on Spielberg, who looks like he was caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and this is like he knows this photograph is evidence.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Spielberg,
and he's in Colombo. They had to go visit him in Colombo. I wonder if he's been to the Otter Place, man. Spielberg.
Yeah.
There's rumors about that guy. I don't know if the rumors are true, but.
And you remember that movie? Harrison Ford had a little kid following him with him everywhere he went.
That's right.
Who had knowledge of adult themed ideas. You know, that's kind of borderline. Dude. Spielberg always has kids, like
kids in his films. And the rumor is that he takes those kids. He lures them, I mean, he gets them onto the film. But I got this other side project we can just film alone together.
Right. Where it gets just really like weird. Quilty from Lolita. Lolita was used for pornography by Quilty, this rich, scene, or like what did he do? He made plays. You know, he was a playwright instead of a movie maker, whatever. But, and he was married to like a dark occult witch. You know, and then he uses Lolita for pornography. So I'm sure
I need to like go take a shower with a Brillo pad. This is so dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I can't believe this is real. This stuff really exists.
If you look into Heather O'Rourke and how that whole situation played out. I don't know if the rumors are true, but holy crap. That Spielberg is one of the most evil people, in my opinion.
Like, he was, I mean, he's friends with Michael Jackson. There's pictures of him being at Michael Jackson. So he shows up at all these pedo areas, Columbo, Michael Jackson's Neverland, all these kids in his films. Like he's really doing kid Goonies. Watch Goonies. If you see Goonies, like there was one sequence.
One-eyed sweet stuff or whatever. One-eyed.
Yeah. Well, he's like a giant. Yeah, male member, whatever, the dude.
Yeah.
But there's sequences where the kids, the visual of the kids, it's like right at the groin level of another male
character. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. I was like, what the hell? What's he doing?
What kind of awkward moment is he putting us in? You know, like, it's sick.
That's why I got to go back and read through Arthur C. Clarke stuff and see if he's got the whole underground symbolism like Kubrick.
Maybe Kubrick. just Maybe just get the PDF and do Control F for certain words. I wouldn't read all that crap. You know,
what would it be?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What's this? So, Stanley Kubrick, Odd White Sex Parties, Don't Speak. Oh, the Equinox Ritual. Here's your whole thing about planetary alignment at the end of film 2001 in the sequence called Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite. So, right. Jupiter kind of thing.
Jupiter instead. And people claim there's this idea that, oh, the only reason he changed it to Jupiter is because he couldn't make the rings look right in the CGI or that he had at the time. So that's the excuse why they changed it. But that's just a cover story.
All right. And here's Clark on the black and white checkered, right? So it's beyond good and evil, right?
The floor of the house of Freemasonry, right?
Yeah. Right. There's Clark again with the monolith. 3001, the final odyssey.
He's touching it like the apes.
Like, yeah, the apes, yeah. And these guys are probably all Darwin. You know, they're Darwinists. We're just a bunch of modified apes, right?
Right.
There's no and God.
Kind of what, like, Kubrick, of course, is an atheist, too. And, like, so they were, it was apes that, and it was, like, the point where apes get smart or whatever. That's the whole theory. Like, Terrence McKenna had the idea that they ate mushrooms or something. Some people think that we started eating cooked meat and it allowed our muscles to, like, shrink so that our brains could get bigger. There's all these theories, right? But in this, like, they're portraying the apes as early man. But it's also, like, it says dawn of man, and that puts me in the space of like Adam and Eve, you know. And it's also like this place before we see the monolith, that is the paradise of Eden, where everybody's getting along, the animals and the people getting along together, you know. And then and in this way, he's relating the serpent to the monolith, even though it's also using the Darwin idea. It's like he's layering them both together that all of those ideas are combined and all viewers can see something from there. It's very interesting.
It's very important because the Darwin idea is in direct contravention to the biblical creation Genesis, right? So it's an alternate Genesis story that takes God out of the equation, right? So it's very important when you see that. I mean, at least from like a Christian perspective, it's like, this is our kind of worldview, whether we like we don't, you know, we're atheists or whatever. So we got to figure out some other way.
If there is no God, then that leaves the space for them to be God.
Right.
That's right. You know, like where they can just ascend in technology and someday.
Right. AI and all that stuff. Yeah, really interesting.
And that goes back to the egoism of Satanism itself. Like the mind virus of Satanism is ego.
Ego. Like written over everything.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is definitely Sri Lanka. You can just tell because they always have these rolling green areas and there's the monolith in his background. Like this guy's obsessed with the monolith. And there's Clark on his deathbed with some elephant tusks or something.
Yeah, I think that's a Sri Lankan thing. I've seen government officials who have that behind them and stuff. But so this is his totally not religious funeral, but he is surrounded by roses. Like I don't know. Like the rose is a very occult theme idea. And Crowley even put the rose on his cross, like on the back of the Toth deck, you know, like the Rosicross is a big deal. So
the Rosicrucian, yeah. Well, the Rosicrucian view is like the cross is the birth of life on a dead cross, right? So the rose is the symbol of life. And the cross is dead. It really has a dark meaning.
And but the rose.
So here's Marvin Minsky named alongside several other prominent men. So he's totally involved in this. Named in this. Minsky. The accusation against Minsky was made by Virginia Giuffre, who was deposed in May 2016 as part of a broader defamation suit between her and Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. In the deposition, Giuffre says she was directed to have sex with Minsky when he visited Epstein's compound in the Virgin Islands. Where did you go to have sex with Marvin Minsky, manager? Answer, I believe it was the U.S. Virgin Islands. Sorry, Jeffrey Epstein's island in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So that was it. Yeah. A separate witness lent credence to Giuffre's account, testifying that she and Minsky had taken a private plane from Teterboro, where Epstein was arrested, to Santa Fe and Palm Beach in March 2001. Epstein, Maxwell, and Chef Adam Perry Lang and shipping heir Henry Jarecki were also passengers on the flight, according to the deposition. At the time of the flight, Giuffre was 17 and Minsky was 73, so this dirty 73-year-old man. But the funniest thing is Adam Perry Lang was all over Epstein, and he was on, like, Joe Rogan, supposedly the arbiter of some kind of truth. And Rogan didn't ask him one question about Epstein. Like, dude, you were there. You saw everything. You were his private chef. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I would just be like, tell me all the details, man.
Exactly.
These guys have to, they probably have to keep their mouth shut because they get wasted.
I think there's certain things that they have to cover up. Like, they're allowed to talk about horse paste or whatever, but they're not allowed to, like, Joe Rogan denies chemtrails. Like, I mean, come on. It's like a stratospheric aerosol injection is the term. Like, all you got to do is look up that term. Chemtrail has been this demonized word that everybody's like, oh, conspiracy theorist. But, like, dude, look up the actual word and it's there. And Rogan's like, whatever, that's crazy talk. And I'm like, God damn. So he's obviously a gatekeeper. That's why
he's a gatekeeper. There's no question he's a gatekeeper. There's no doubt. When you have CIA agents on there and never talk about CIA. And you have certain people. You're a gatekeeper, dude. You're a comedian gatekeeper. He's a perfect role. He's got the, like, I'm not saying he was created, but, like, he has, like, the tough guy image, the fighter image. So, like, all those people are like, oh, Rogan's one of me. I sleeved and tattooed and he's got muscles and stuff.
He got famous making people eat bugs, giving him money to eat bugs. And now it's like everybody's ready to eat bugs.
Dude, Holmes has done very well for himself. Like, he just signed another, like, people were shocked when he signed a $100 million contract with Spotify. Right. He just followed on with another $250 million, and nobody really blinked an eye. They just were like, okay, I guess that's a lot of money. But that's a lot of money.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, after this latest revelation with the P. Diddy stuff, I did go and I found a way to record that latest show that Joe Rogan did with Cat Williams, because I wanted to hear what he was going to talk. Because that episode, the show that he did with Shay Shay, was very revealing. Cat Williams is in the know. He's hip.
I don't know who Shay Shay is.
Oh, Shay Shay is like some ex-football player who has like a podcast, and, you know, it's like it's a chill place for people to chill, to hang out and talk. And Cat Williams was invited, and he revealed a bunch of stuff. Cat Williams has always been talking about, you know, the gay Illuminati of, like,
right. I think he mentioned Baphomet in one of his, I saw a little clip of that. Like,
this, he was talking about the emerald. He was talking about the emerald tablets of Thoth. Wow. Like, on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan acts like he's never heard of it before. Right. I'm like, what?
Dude? He's full of crap.
He's like, can't even read. He couldn't read Trismegistus. And, like, Joe Rogan's got all these people. Apparently he reads all this stuff and he doesn't even know how to say the word Hermes Trismegistus. Like, come on.
Yeah. Give me a break.
He's a good actor. He's playing a role.
I'm telling you. He's got a persona. He's playing a role. He's doing a good job.
Yeah. I think
one of his best friends was the lead singer of Tool, like the head singer of Tool. And that guy's a full-on occultist.
Yeah. Maynard works for the military. Maynard went to West Point.
Yeah. His drummer's a full Crowley-loving magician, dude.
He's one of the most successful magicians I've ever seen. Like, his life. Like, just look at what the arc of his career. But I think he was placed there. I think his father was a high occult Freemason who would, in quotes, play with swords in the backyard. Wow. He said, and Danny Carey in a quote once said, my dad's not like, he's not like the 99% of Freemasons. He plays with swords. In other words, he does occult ceremonial magician. Right. So, like, Danny Carey is bloodline, I believe. And I think they created Tool and they sent Maynard up to Seattle to become part of the grunge scene and then connect it back to LA because Tool is from LA, that whole Laurel Canyon thing. And they've always had a center there in LA. And so Tool kind of took that whole momentum that was coming from the Melvins and even Nirvana and all that you know, Tool is somehow connected to that. And then in 1993, Lollapalooza, Tool had like their big coming out party where they played the Lollapalooza and they were there with like Primus and Alice in Chains. And they also Timothy Leary was there. Wow. And Timothy Leary's personal assistant, who would in quotes do anything for Timothy Leary, ended up being Danny Carey's wife. Like that's where they met.
This wow.
93 Lollapalooza. It was like, wow, he was this woman as like a trophy.
Wow.
It's crazy. And
that is crazy. These are just full-on Illuminates, man. There's no question. Like Clark.
93 was when they, and like, and they had a very satanic thing in the beginning, and then they had a fight with their record company. I think they're doing new stuff now. I think they're positive occultists in a way. They're trying to help people.
Sure, whatever.
No, really.
It's like saying dark occultists or light occultists.
But listen, though. What the occulted knowledge of what was coming with the whole plandemic, they knew.
They knew it.
They did an album that came out in August of 2019 called Fear Inoculum. And it was about don't be afraid of what's coming. And in the words, Maynard's lyrics were like, be afraid of others, fear the breath of others, like stay away 6 feet and like wear masks. That whole was like in there. And so
they're
like,
trying to push it again now, dude. They're trying to do it all the same playbook again for this election.
I know. And Tool might be coming out with a new album too. So hopefully, I think that it was like having that album first, if we could really hear it and it was saying, don't be afraid, don't be deceived by the deceiver. Like there were some very positive messages in that album. And I think it was released in 2019 because they knew what was happening and they were putting it out ahead of time to inoculate us from the fear that was spell of fear that was coming. Yeah, so I've changed my tune about Tool. I think that lately they're doing good things as opposed to when they started. They were very satanic. Their life feeds on life, you know, the immoral like type of shit, like stuff. Sorry, language. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. We're gonna be okay. I mean, a little few swears words here and there are not.
Okay, I apologize, listeners. It's all my fault. Yeah.
We are at the 1 hour 36 minute mark. I mean, it's been great to talk with you. Is there anything you'd like to add, or where can people find your show?
Wake the Dead is available on many podcast listeners. The RSS feed is available through Spotify. And I'm also publishing the videos on Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and sometimes YouTube, but not often.
They're cracking down. Like I think somebody just got one of their YouTube videos flagged from 10 years ago.
Right.
Like I just saw that on social media. Like it was, I think it was Derek Bros or somebody like.
I had one. The first video I ever put up was about circumcision, and that was the only topic. That was all I was talking about. It was just me talking into the camera saying circumcision is wrong. And then I got an email from YouTube the other day. It's been there for like 3 years now. And I got an email saying that they pulled it because of medical misinformation. I was so infuriated. I was like, and I fought it. And I was like, I'm contesting this. And then like 2 hours later, they sent me an email. Whoops, sorry. It's fine. And they put it back up. But if I didn't fight it, you know, like they can, there is no medical misinformation. It's obviously wrong to chop up little babies, you know, it's harmful to them in many ways. And like, that's all I was saying in the camera, but the American Medical Association doesn't say it's wrong because it's run by Jew. Like, I mean, again, but I mean, I'm not a anti-Jew guy, but really we need to think for ourselves and not just do what the doctor says, you know, and that's, but
dude, there's so many crazy traditions that are in medicine today that are really snake oil. It's total joke. Like the entirety of the antidepressant pill factory is just a trap. Fraud. And so is the inoculations. I mean, you look through that. Yeah. The fact that they're putting, I'll probably get flagged for this, but the fact, I mean, there's no In the human body, there's no acceptable amount of mercury. You might as well put plutonium in your body,
exactly,
or curare or arsenic. And they're putting it in these things. Like, it's right. Like, this is fundamental. This is how
hard. At a point in our stage of development, when there is no blood-brain barrier, it goes right into those kids' heads. I mean,
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Every person with autism is done intentionally. It's all done intentionally.
Yeah.
And it's so freaking
sick. And it makes us sick and weak and not able to fight and not smart enough to be able to see that they're destroying us. This is how they dominate our species.
Monsters, dude. They're monsters.
Yeah. They're all predators like this guy, Arthur C. Clarke, who has no immoral feelings, has no guilt about enhancing the, like making Sri Lankan rape tourism a popular thing.
They're coming to the club for money. You know,
yeah.
This is an exchange.
Yeah.
I mean, he has all these.
There was another part in one of those articles where he's like, oh, yeah, they should crack down on the child trafficking, but how can you do that without infringing on the rights of free individuals?
Right.
Like, what about the rights of the kids, guy? Come on. Okay. They're free individuals too, right?
So, I know. It's crazy. Sean McCann, Wake the Dead. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
All right. God bless you.